Lesson 5. The Rich Invent Money. I've been teaching professionally since 1984. It's been a great experience and rewarding. It's also a disturbing profession, for I've taught thousands of individuals, and I see one thing in common in all of us, myself included. We all have tremendous potential, and we are all blessed with gifts. Yet the one thing that holds all of us back is some degree of self-doubt. It's not so much the lack of technical information that holds us back, but more the lack of self-confidence. Some are more affected than others. Once we leave school, most of us know that it's not as much a matter of college degrees or good grades that count. In the real world, outside of academics, something more than just grades is required. I've heard it called guts, chutzpah, balls, audacity, bravado, cunning, daring, tenacity, and brilliance. This factor, whatever it's labeled, ultimately decides one's future much more than school grades. Inside each of us is one of these brave, brilliant, and daring characters. There's also the flip side of that character. People who could get down on their knees and beg if necessary. After a year in Vietnam as a Marine Corps pilot, I intimately got to know both of those characters inside of me. One is not better than the other. Yet as a teacher, I recognized that it was excessive fear and self-doubt that were the greatest detractors of personal genius. It broke my heart to see students know the answers, yet lack the courage to act on the answer. Often in the real world, it's not the smart that get ahead, but the bold. In my personal experience, your financial genius requires both technical knowledge as well as courage. If fear is too strong, the genius is suppressed. In my classes, I strongly urge students to learn to take risks, to be bold, to let their genius convert that fear into power and brilliance. It works for some and just terrifies others. I've come to realize that for most people, when it comes to the subject of money, they would rather play it safe. I've had to field questions such as, why take risks? Why should I bother developing my financial IQ? Why should I become financially literate? And I answer, just to have more options. There are huge changes up ahead. There will be 100 people like Bill Gates and hugely successful companies like Microsoft created every year all over the world. And there also will be many more bankruptcies, layoffs, and downsizing. So why bother developing your financial IQ? Because if you do, you will prosper greatly. And if you don't, this period of time will be a frightening one. Land was wealth 300 years ago. So the person who owned the land owned the wealth. Then it was factories and production. And America rose to dominance. The industrialist own the wealth. Today, it's information. And the person who has the most timely information owns the wealth. The problem is, information flies all around the world at the speed of light. The new wealth cannot be contained by boundaries and borders as lands and factories were. The changes will be faster and more dramatic. There will be a dramatic increase in the number of new multimillionaires. There also will be those who are left behind. Today, I find so many people struggling, often working harder, simply because they cling to old ideas. They want things to be the way they were. They resist change. I know people who are losing their jobs or their houses, and they blame technology or the economy or their boss. Sadly, they fail to realize that they might be the problem. Old ideas are their biggest liability. It's a liability simply because they fail to realize that while that idea or way of doing something was an asset yesterday, yesterday is gone. One afternoon I was teaching investing using a game I'd invented, cash flow, as a teaching tool. A friend had brought someone along to attend the class. This friend of a friend was recently divorced, had been badly burned in the divorce settlement, and was now searching for some answers. Her friend thought the class might help. The game was designed to help people learn how money works. In playing the game, they learn about the interaction of the income statement with the balance sheet. They learn how cash flows between the two, and how the road to wealth is through striving to increase your monthly cash flow from the asset column to the point that it exceeds your monthly expenses. Once you accomplish this, you're able to get out of the rat race and onto the fast track. As I've said, some people hate the game, some love it, and others miss the point. This woman missed a valuable opportunity to learn something. In the opening round, she drew a doodad card with the boat on it. At first, she was happy. Oh, I've got the boat! Then, as her friend tried to explain how the numbers worked on her income statement and balance sheet, she got frustrated because she had never liked math. The rest of her table waited while her friend continued explaining the relationship between the income statement, balance sheet, and monthly cash flow. Suddenly, when she realized how the numbers worked, it dawned on her that her boat was eating her alive. Later on in the game, she was also downsized and had a child. It was a horrible game for her. After the class, her friend came by and told me that she was upset. She'd come to the class to learn about investing and did not like the idea that it took so long to play a silly game. Her friend attempted to tell her to look within herself to see if the game reflected on herself in any way. With that suggestion, the woman demanded her money back. She said that the very idea that a game could be a reflection of her was ridiculous. Her money was promptly refunded, and she left.